down again? You told me once.
Quarter after.
Yeah, he told me once. Quarter after. So. Well, it's a joy to be back. It's always a blessing to be back. And you folks have made me feel loved before and greatly loved even now, even more. And I preached my heart last time, and I'm always amazed when people have me back anyhow. But I looked over my list, and my papers showed that I preached on the devil. I don't know. And then I was informed that that I preached on abiding in Christ and this, that, and the other. And so in Sunday school last 2 years ago. And so I was going to preach that again because my paper said that I preached on the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking the Christian he may devour. That's you. And so, I don't know, I'm going to look over some of I guess they put it down on CD and try to go back and figure out what I preached last time. So evidently I didn't write it down all right. So we're going to start with something brand new. I know you don't know this one because I just got it. So it's that new. And that's one thing I do. Hey, just as man can not get saved any way he chooses, folks, you cannot walk with Christ. That is, you can't live for God any way you choose. And folks, that's where many of God's people have missed it. They're not reading the instruction manual. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we're trying to live the Christian life without reading the owner's manual. Like you have an automobile, and how many of you folks opened the glove box and read the owner's manual before you started the car up for the first time? We figure at 16 we know everything, and so there's no need to take time to read about you know what I'm saying? So you get saved, and then you go from zero to 477 without reading the instruction manual. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not short and it cannot save, neither is ear heavy and he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. James 4:3, you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume upon your lust. And so we're trying to live the Christian life without actually getting in the instruction manual. And so I'm just going to try to help you get in the instruction manual that you might have a greater walk, a closer walk with the Lord. I know I preached on practice his presence. That would be one that it was very important that you practice his presence. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so I don't know how he does it, but Jesus Christ in the room with us this morning. Folks, he's at Walmart too, and he's in your car when you drive down the road. And you don't stop at a stop sign. He did notice that you didn't stop. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee at Kmart. And so, now, we don't actually live that way, but it's in your head. But it's why do you hide his word in your heart? Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy instructions. Psalm 119:11, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God, that I might remain in fellowship with the Lord. And I think many of us are out of fellowship most of the time, not in fellowship. And that's why John chapter 15 was so important. I wanted to start out something, you know, abiding in Christ. Why is it so important that you maintain fellowship with the Master, and that you might bear much fruit? Verse 5, I'm the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can't do nothing. You know, can't do anything. So, and then verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And then you can have the joy of the Lord. And I'm sure some of you folks remember all that if you remember the instructions. So anyway, what are you trying to say? I'm glad you're here. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 now. It's only going to get worse. This just gets the starting point. So my favorite color. Does anybody, did I share my favorite color with you the last time I was here? I do know somebody knows my favorite color. I believe Sarah knows my favorite color. And I think Pastor, he may remember my favorite color. Does anybody else know my favorite color? Don't guess, but you can say without a shadow of a doubt, I've spent time with the man and I know what he likes. Does anybody remember the color other than... You know, you were there too. No. Now, see, the reason, do you, Jesse, you remember my favorite color? No. That was good guess. I thought he may have been there, but I know Pastor was there. And what was my favorite color?
Green.
Now, folks, the reason he knows that is he spent time with me in my presence, and he actually listened to me. Okay, you see what I'm saying? And that's all I'm saying. I asked a fellow, I said, what did you hear? He says, you're an evangelist and you love money because you love green and you love money. Now, that's what that was a brother in Christ. Folks, if you don't listen to me and try to get to think like I think and get to know me better, I'm going to be misunderstood. I don't want you to turn me off like a bad TV program. You see? So I asked the brother in Christ, I said, what'd you hear? He said, you're an evangelist and you love money. All evangelists love money. That's the reason your favorite color is green. And then I asked another fella, I said, well, what did you hear? He says, you're a Green Bay Packer fan. You're a cheesehead. You love the Green Bay Packers. And then I asked another fellow, I said, okay, now you were listening, right? You were here. What'd you hear? He said, you're a John Deere tractor man. You love the John Deere tractor. And then I went to a young fella, and I said, how old are you? Is it Noah? How old are you?
9.
What did you hear? What did you hear? What's my favorite color?
Green.
And it was a 9-year-old boy. And he said it. He said, your favorite color is green. So, see, he had nothing to draw from. He hadn't been lied to. Folks, he hadn't been deceived. I'm sure he's. But not like you've been deceived and you've been lied to. And you're trying to figure out, what is he trying to say? And if you don't take me like a 9-year-old, it's not going to be good. You see, I want to govern my life in light of a praise in mind. I want to govern my life like an athlete would, in light of a praise. You're going to stand before Christ one day and give him an account how you walked, how you lived for Christ. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the Romans 14:10, we shall all stand before him. Then you ask the question, why? Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So you're going to stand before Christ one day and bow the knee and give an account. And folks, I want to bow the knee with a smile in mind, with a praise in mind. Now, that may have offended somebody, but if you didn't take me like a 9-year-old, I'm just trying to get you to know me better because I've been so misunderstood. I am nowhere close to well to be. I'm further back in the woods than you might think. But if I said I want to stand before him one day with the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, in mind, see, now that makes more sense, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, folks, I said the same thing. I didn't mean I'm better than you are. If you don't take it like a 9-year-old, you're going to misunderstand me this week. And so I just want to let you know that I love you, and I'm not the enemy. I speak in truth, but I'm not the enemy, and I become your enemy, but I'm not the enemy this week. So Philippians chapter 3, so that kind of gets to know each other better. And Philippians 3, 8 through 16, and we'll go as far as we can because I already forgot the time anyway. So Philippians 3, 8 through 16. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God of faith, that I might know him, folks, that I might know him like no other Christian on the planet. How about you? That I might know him better. Maybe that's where you are. You want to know God better. How about getting to know God intimately? How about getting to know God like no other Christian on the planet? Hey, if you don't aim at something, you're going to miss for sure. I can share with you how you can get to know God like no other Christian on the planet. But you might not be wanting to do that. You may not be willing to stop the overtime at work. And you may not be willing to downsize. And you may not be willing to, you know, have you ever compared how much time you spend watching TV to how much time you spend with the Lord? But folks, you can get to know God as good as you want to. You can get to know God like no other Christian on the planet. You can get to know God like Abraham did. Remember, when I preach the message, practice his presence, you can get to know God like Abraham did. You can get to know God like Moses did. You can get to know God like the Apostle Paul did. You can get to know him. There's no reason why you cannot know God like Peter did. But you got to love him. You've got to love the Lord like Abraham did. You've got to love the Lord like Moses did. You've got to love the Lord like the Apostle Paul did. Now, you can know God like Abraham did, but he's going to put his finger on the thing that you love more than you love the Lord. What is it that you love more than you love Christ? Well, you can get to know God like Abraham did, but he's going to put his finger on the thing that you love most. Is God enough, or do you need your wife too? Is God enough, or do you need your son or daughter too? Is God enough, or do you need your eyesight too? You know, the Christian life boils down to I surrender all. I surrender my eyes. I surrender my hearing. And so, but you can get to know God like no other Christian on the planet, but you've got to make a decision. And that's not enough. A decision. Hey, now you've got to discipline yourself to do what you've decided. And you need to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God that he gave you at the new birth to accomplish knowing Christ like no other Christian on the planet. But it is available for every Christian in this room who will make a decision, who is willing to live a godly life within his presence. Titus 2:12, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly, folks, in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus could come back today. Right? There will be a generation of Christians here when he comes, perhaps in my lifetime. And I want to stand before him today with a praise in mind. Folks, it's not going to happen by accident. You don't wake up one morning and find out that you've been well-pleasing to God that week. You need to make a conscious, deliberate decision. You see where I'm going? These are decisions that you need to make. I can't make them for you. The successful Christian walk is you making the decision, a successful decision, and saying, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to do right. I'm going to come. I'm going to study. I'm going to obey God and this, that, and the other. And I'm going to do right because it's right to do right. And so if I could get you to do something this week is to get to know him better. And that's what we're talking. One thing I do. And so Paul said that I might know him. That's what he said. He said that I might know him. I said, well, I might know him like no other Christian on the planet, that I might know him better. I hope that would be your desire this week. I hope you'll come back every night. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, when you hear the man say perfect, Something wrong with that guy. Well, he's perfect. What if I got up here and said, I want to be perfect? He'd say, you're right. Well, I want to praise, stand before him one day with a praise. Well, I think perfect. He was saying, hey, folks, I want to be fully grown, mature. And so, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Okay, you ought to live in such a way that you can say, hey, you follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, you see, I'll get your eyes on men. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Yeah, you ought to use your influence, the example, the godly influence. Somebody used theirs last night and helped me. A godly example that was set forth that kind of got me, oh, you ought to be doing that. And I thought, yep. And so, you know, walk in such a way that you can say, follow me as I follow Christ. The mom and dad, you ought to say, kids, you ought to follow me as I follow the Lord. A godly example to follow. So let's get started. We'll notice Paul's confession and then Paul's goal and Paul's conclusion. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul confessed right at the opening here a conclusion he had made about his life. Now, the Apostle Paul said, brethren, I count. That word count is the same word translated reckon elsewhere. It is a bookkeeping term. The word apprehended is a word that means to get a prize or to win a prize. So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this. Hey, folks, I have concluded that I have not won the prize. In other words, I have not arrived. I count that I have not apprehended. So let me ask you something. What is it that Paul says he had not completely won yet? What is it the Apostle Paul wanted to apprehend, that he wanted to apprehend? Well, somewhere in the process of Paul's Christian walk, in his walk with Christ, in the Christian life, something got a hold of that man. Paul, what is it? What is it, Paul? What is it that drives you on to the place where you have not arrived yet? So, what is it that you have not, that you want? So I believe the answer is found in verse 10, that I might know him. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And so what was the passion and the purpose of the Apostle Paul? It's so simple. He said that I might know Christ. That I might know him like no other Christian on the planet. The Apostle Paul was used greatly of God. He magnified the Lord with his life. However, before he was saved, the man was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a devout enemy of Christ. Yet the man met the Lord. Have you met the Lord yet? I met the Lord on November 22nd, 1987, at the age of 30. Eighth grade education, making straight S through school. Couldn't even pronounce the word therefore. I didn't even know what was in the book therefore. But I met him. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be saved, if he met the Lord, he says, son, you a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There will be a change in the lifestyle of every born-again believer. It will be some. So if you had got them change, you better make sure you got it. And so So there are things that he wanted to know. The Apostle Paul was not saying, I want to get saved by and by. He was already saved. He had been saved ever since the Damascus Road experience. No, he is not talking about that. He said, hey, folks, I want to know Christ intimately. I have a passion. I have a burning desire to know Christ intimately. I know him better now than I knew him. Some people, when they talk about meeting the Lord, have to go back 15, 20 years when they got saved. I got saved 27 years ago. I met him 27 years ago. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 9, I've commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee in Walmart, whithersoever thou goest. And so he changed me, and simply act as if what God said is true. God said it, so I don't have to try to figure it out like a 9-year-old. He just took the guy. He heard me say green. That's all I meant. And so when God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you may boldly say the Lord is Norm's helper, and Norm will not fear what man, then we act as if what God says is true. And that'll change the way you drive. It'll change the way you live your life. It'll change the way, it'll change everything about you if you will actually get it from your head and just if you put it in your heart. And then it ought to change the way you drive, the way you shop. You know, Philippians 2:14, do all things, shop at Walmart without complaining. That's all he's saying. He didn't get it. Okay. Okay. You know, and that's a decision. I mean, I was in a checkout counter here not too long ago in Minnesota. It must have been 35 counters, but only 2 people working. And Jesus there. And Jesus, who lives in you? Christ liveth in you, right? Y'all believe that, right? Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. At Walmart, going to the shopping counter. And he says, man, you grieve me. You complain. Stop. You ought not be complaining. Like, how long have you been saved? Now, I know him better now. I'm 27 years old in the Lord. Some people talk about meeting Christ, go to back 15, 20, 27 years. But folks, I met him this morning. And that's the difference, perhaps. I met him this morning. I know him better now than I knew him 27 years ago. I understand him better. When he speaks, man, I'm ready to jump. I don't even have to say, oh, ha, ha. I just go, man, like, yes, sir. And but is he real to you? Perhaps he's a force, a feeling, an idea. But I'm talking about my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And if we would fall in love with him, no one would have to beg and plead to be in church tomorrow night. Read your Bible, pray, study, because he'd be real to you. He'd be real to you. We've already covered that with some of the things. I've tried to look over what I've done before, try to keep you up going and things like that. So what was it? Paul was not completely won yet. What is it he wanted to apprehend? Somewhere along the way in Paul's Christian life, he's thought, man, I want to get to know God better. So what was his passion, the purpose of Paul? His passion is that they might know Christ. There are 3 things that he wanted to know. The Apostle Paul was not saying, I want to get saved. He wasn't saying that. He said, I want to know Christ intimately. So let me ask you something. Do you folks have a passion to know Christ? Do you have a passion to know Christ better? Do you have a passion to know Christ intimately? If you practice his presence, a Christian who practices his presence is like Sunday and Wednesday from time to time. I'm asking you to go on past that. If you'll practice his presence, it'll lead you to a constant Christ awareness. And then you can't even have a dirty thought. Ezekiel 11:5, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Matthew 5:28, why do you hide his word in your heart? Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, son, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And so why do you hide it so you might not sin again? All you need is a dirty mind, a filthy mind. You're out of fellowship already, out of fellowship. And I think that's where we're most. We live the Christian life out of fellowship with the Lord. And God never intended us to live that way. We were created to walk up close with God. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Folks, it's not right. It's not right that we not walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ every day, 24/7, 365, 66 day, leap year too. You say, no Christian can live that way. I say to you that you can. And you ought to be living that way. Don't live any other way. What other way do you want to live? Do you want to live in the flesh? You want to walk around all day long under the flesh? Do you want to walk around all day long with thoughts of anger, envy, jealousy, and lust? Do you want to walk around all day long with a frown on your face? Did you know unsaved folks live like that? Don't you want to live a different sort of life? Don't you want to live in such a way that Jesus is real to you? Don't you want to live in such a way that His Word is real to you? Hey, don't you want His Word to burn in your heart because He talks to you, because He opens to you the instruction manual? Okay. I don't know how far. I never get very far anymore. I just come off head, come out mouth now. Okay. Psalm 37, verse 23. Do you know what it says in Psalm 37, verse 23? I do. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, if you were that good Christian, and you ought to be a good Christian, right? Well, when you say it that way, it puts a little bit more pressure on you. But when we read it, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, who's that? Well, that's you. The steps of a good Christian are ordered by the Lord. Now, how does God talk to you primarily? Yeah, it's primarily He speaks to us through His Word. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, study. What part didn't you get? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you were that good Christian, then you would let God order your steps, and then you would discipline yourself to obey Him. Study. So that means you're going to have to get rid of something. That means turn off TV. Probably. I mean, that'd probably be a good start. Did y'all get that? Okay. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, He says, come walk with me and think on these kinds of things. I thought, oh man, what's in it for me? You don't do it because there's something good in it for you, son. You do it because you love me. Oh, come on. Now you got to turn that on me. I got to love you too. The first commandment is to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You like Him. You appreciate Him. You see what God has done for you. Gave you eternal life and a home in heaven. But you don't love Him. Y'all coming back, right? And see, that's where you need to love Him. You see what I'm saying? You like Him, you appreciate Him. But if you love Him, then if you were that good Christian man, you let God give you the marching orders. And when he tells you to study, let all bitterness stop your complaining, then you would discipline yourself to obey Him. Amen?
Amen.
I know you kids got it. It's a little harder for mom and dad, but the kids got it. And that's what, you know what, the 9-year-old understands me. I think the older people do too, but they just really don't want to go that far. I've done gone too far. But Father, come on. Hey, we're still in the land of the living. Some of you folks younger than I am. We're going to stand before Him one day. Moses, dead, he had an opportunity to serve God. Apostle Paul, hey, he had his time. Paul's gone. We're here in the land of the living. Come on, let's, if somebody, so I'm just saying, so let's go, let's do something for Jesus. Let me ask you, is he worth it?
Yes.
Well, you say that is a faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. Well, yeah, He's worth it, but can you be tested? Can you be trusted? And so we're going to learn a lot this week. I hope you'll come back. That's just some things that the Apostle Paul was used greatly of God, but hey, he was a man. You can get to know God like the Apostle Paul did. But I'm telling you, folks, things are not going to go smoothly until you die and go to heaven. And you can get to know God like Moses did. But you don't get a second chance. He said, speak, and he smote. And God says, you'd gone too far. He often gives the repentant child of God a second chance. But he says, get to know me like Moses, and don't you ever presume upon that. Because he says, I don't have to give you a second chance. But maybe you're just content with your knowledge of Christ. And that's what this is talking about. I think these folks just got content. They just got to plateau and they just kind of coasting on. But Paul says, no, I'm not. That's not me. That's not the Apostle Paul. What time was, what, would you say quarter after? Okay, so what was Paul's passion that he might know Christ? Okay, let's get going in. So I'm just talking. So do you have a passion to know Christ? You have a passion to make a lot of money. You have a passion to become famous. You have a passion to have achieve great notoriety. Best football player on the planet. That's really going to pay off when you see the Lord. Nothing wrong with being a football player. Providing that you don't do it outside the will of God. You know, outside of the Lordship of Christ. Y'all not mad at me? Okay, I don't know what you're doing. But anyway, see, Pastor, don't tell me nothing. I like it better that way. You have a passion to build a great business, but I wonder if you have a passion to know Christ better. Intimately. Folks, if you don't aim at something, you're going to miss for sure. Paul said, I want to know him. I also want to know the power of his resurrection. How about that sort of power? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hey, yeah, right. You know, have you ever experienced the power of God on your life? If you've ever known what it is to move the heart of God, you see, now Christian can move God's heart. Yes, you can. So you just don't know the instructions. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. The reason you ask not, you have very little, you know, you can't move the heart of God because you're not asking. But if you thought God would give you everything you asked for, you'd rarely stop the act of asking. Matthew 7:7, ask and ye shall. Matthew said, ask and it shall be given you. He didn't say it shall be given you. He said, ask and it shall be given you. So a lot of heart moving won't be, you won't get what you need because you're not asking. So you can move the heart like Abraham did. Abraham said, 40, 30, 20, 10, righteous. I'll not destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I tell you what. But you can move the heart and like the Apostle Paul did. And you can, like Abraham did, and he said, I want to know something about the power of his resurrection. Paul said, when I consider the power that it took to raise Christ from the dead, he says, I want that kind of power in my life today. Hey, do you hunger to know Christ? Do you hunger to know something about the power of the resurrection? Paul said, if I'm going to defeat sin in my life today, I need that kind of power. If I'm going to be an effective soul winner, I need that sort of power. If I'm going to be the husband I ought to be in the home, I need that kind of power. If I'm going to be the wife, the submissive wife in the home that I need to be, I need that sort of power. And I'm going to be an effective Christian and live the godly life and live for God. I must have that power. So then he said, I want to know the fellowship to be comrade, a partner of his sufferings. Hey, there is a martyr's crown out there you can get. Murder's crown. Okay, now that's suffering. You know, we just have it way too easy. But so our suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Do you know what it says in John 12:24? Verily, verily, I say unto you. God says, truly, truly, I don't lie. I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, if the Christian die, he'll bring forth much fruit. You say, well, die to what? Die to your dreams. Die to your plans. Die to your ambitions. Die to your goals. Die to your career. He might not want you to be what... He may want you in South Africa. If you will die to the life you've made for yourself on planet Earth, you'll bring forth much fruit. Remember, total surrender. And discover what the Christian walk, the Christian life is all about. You're going to stand before him one day. And you do it because you love him. When you stop, you said he's worth it, right? John 12:20. So Jesus taught us, Jesus Christ taught us, that he will purge us that we might bring forth fruit. The Apostle Paul had a passion to know Christ, and that passion drove him to know Christ. He had a burning desire to know the Lord, to experience the power of His resurrection in his life, and to enter into the experience to dying to self. Dying to self. How, are you good at dying? How dead are you? I illustrate it this way. I've been dying. Shortly after I got saved, Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." And so I've tried to, I've consciously, deliberately trying to die for 27 years. Now, that was not always easy, and it's still, you work at it, you make a decision to die, die to your dreams, die to your plans, you don't have to have it your way. And anyway, I was coming out of Walmart, and this young fella, he didn't obey the rules. It says, stop for the pedestrians. Some people don't even stop at all. That was one of the guys. He didn't even stop. And I was pushing my cart out, and my wife was next to me, and I just stopped. And she looked at me. I said, he took 2/3 of my vocabulary away when I got saved. Yeah, so I didn't curse or swear or anything like that. And then I didn't take the... There was a time before I got saved, I would have been happy to put that in his windshield. And I'd have been happy, and I'd have paid for it, or put it in the side of his car. But see, now I'm a new creature, folks. I'm a dead man. Dead men don't curse. A dead man don't respond to praise. A dead man don't respond to criticism. A dead man don't respond to a guy cutting him off. You see what I'm saying? But what if you never started? How dead are you, you see? And so that's, he wanted to know more of dying to self. Oh, man, that's the way to die. You know, so anyway, my wife was impressed. It didn't go through the windshield. But anyway, that was that's old school, folks. That was something at least 15 years ago. But what if you never started? You'll have an opportunity to die today on the way home. Somebody going to cut you off. And just how you going to respond, okay? All right, so Paul said that that's what I want. That's what I want. He did not want to build a great religious empire for himself. Paul didn't want that. He did not seek a great name for himself. He did not seek great wealth. He did not seek ease or luxury. No, Paul literally wanted to be perfect. And so Philippians 3:12, the Bible says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. The word perfect in the New Testament literally means mature, fully grown. So Paul was simply saying this, I have a desire about me to be a full-grown Christian. I look at my lack of knowledge of Christ, okay? I look at, and there's folks that know 10 times what I know, but they've not put into practice that which they know. But I look at the lack of knowledge. I just started to read. I didn't learn to read until I got saved at age 30. At 35, they stuck me in third grade English. And I've only been learning the last 15 so years, man. So it's really getting there. It took me 9 years to get through school. You know, I was 40 years old before I even got to, really started going. I'm only 57, so 17 years. I'm further along than I thought. So, but what might God do with you? See, all my wires are not connected. You kind of figured that out already, didn't you? And I said, Lord, that's not right. You didn't connect all my wires. He said, son, I've done you a favor. He has. I didn't say it that way, but some of you folks still trying to figure out if Christ's in the room. You're so intelligent. And you're not acting as if what God said is true. God said, I'm in the room, whether you believe it or not. He says, not in the flesh, but he's just as much in the room as if he were in the flesh. Folks, that's right, whether you believe it or not. But anyway, so what was Paul saying? Simply, I have a desire about me to be a fully grown Christian. I look at the lack of knowledge of Christ and how much I don't know Him, and I want to know Him better. I want to know Him intimately. And I see powerless. I look at my life and I see powerlessness sometimes in my resistance to temptation. Resistance to temptation. I see powerless in my ministry, in my prevailing with God in prayer. And so Paul says, I look at my life and I see selfishness. I see self-ambition. I see my own selfish desires. And he says to himself, I want to know what it is to die to myself. Paul said, that is what I want in my life. I want to be perfect. I want to be mature. I want to be fully developed. He used the word perfect. I didn't use it. I want to be mature. I want to be fully developed. I want to be fully grown. In James 1:4, James says, describes perfection this way, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Paul wanted to get to that place in his walk with God where he lacked nothing. He wanted to be fully developed in his Christian experience. That is what Paul wanted for himself. So let me ask you something else. Do you want the same thing? Or are you content to coast along with what you got along the way already? You've been saved how long? You've coasted along with what you've obtained already. Have you known some spiritual progress in your life? Some spiritual maturity? And do you say to yourself, I want to coast on this for a little while? I am content with my knowledge of Christ as it is. Folks, in Genesis, he's the creator and the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Lamb of God for sinners slain. In Leviticus, he's our perfect high priest. In Numbers, he's the star out of Jacob. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is captain of the Lord's hosts and judges. He's the messenger of Jehovah. The Bible's not a book about history. It's not about Israel. It's not about David. The Bible is a book about your Savior. And so get to know him. When I say knowledge, I don't just mean facts and figures. It starts with that. It starts with that. But I mean to really know Christ. Are you content with what you know of Jesus Christ? Are you content with your knowledge of the Son of God? Do you want to know Christ better? Paul said that I might know him. The more you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, the more you get to know him, the more you will be impressed with him. The more you will yearn to know him better. And folks, you won't have a problem stopping at a stop sign. And you won't have a problem stopping behind the white line. I read the manual. What's the right thing to do, right? Y'all, how'd you get your driver's license without reading the book? Y'all read the book, right? Who's in the car? Would Jesus stop? Well, commit yourself. Would Jesus stop? All right. He never told you something you could not do. Right? Now, if he told you something, well, let's stop your complaining. Did he say not to stop your complaining? Philippians 2:14. Well, did he say something you could not do? See, if he lied about that, he lied about our salvation too, folks. You see, you're making too many excuses for the flesh. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. Folks, it's better to stop than get forgiveness for not stopping. Not sinless perfection. Just stop. You know, complain less. Complain less. And if you'll discipline yourself there, it'll take you to other levels as well. Y'all coming back, right? Good. Well, we'll finish this morning.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this brother. Thank you, God, for the challenge. Help us each, God, to strive to be more like Jesus Christ. Pray for this week, God, you'll stretch us. Probe our hearts and expose the areas that we've kept off limits to you. And allow you to